that lies within our reach is the result of what the Lord is. He is sovereign, He's holy, and I believe He offers every individual the chance to be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And this is sort of a reminder of friends I've known, friends that I know they know. I'm from Tennessee, and I talked to some of the preachers here, and they know the preachers that I know. Some of them have went on to be with the Lord. And in the Independent Baptist Fellowship that we're involved in, I'm the old one. And so we just take that position. In my younger life, it was different. I was a little more active. I could tell a lot of stories, but I'll leave that and get with the message, okay? The Brady family. We have Rebecca. A lot of you may have known Chuck Brady and his family. And over the years, they were special. We ended a Bible school in Ypsilanti, Michigan, as the pastor of a church on East Cross Street. We went to Brar, the big place of shopping to relieve the stress and walk around. We come back and Chuck Brady and his family's big bus, and we had a glorious week or 2 weeks, I don't remember how long, and those children were small, mine was small, and so they had a great time. My thought is somewhat different, but I think it'll fit in. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you will, chapter 11. And we'd like to present somewhat, maybe the responsibility of all of us, that missionaries and our place, our little place that we minister in the heart of compassion for the lost. If you're at your place in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we're going to read verse 1 through verse 6. It reads like this: Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. The clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Let's pray. Father, we offer our thanks to you for the blessing to be able to be a part of the work here at Victory Baptist Church in Greenville. Thank you for the good pastor and the church's choice, and we believe that it's your choice. We just pray that you'll undergird them with your grace and bless them in their work. In this community, a lighthouse will shine out, that multitudes of souls will come to know you as their Savior. Help us in these few moments to bring just exactly what you would have us to have, and may we digest it in the way that you would be pleased and be obedient. We'll not fail to praise you for all that's accomplished. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Well, I'd like to just pull a thought in this entire passage of Scripture from verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Cast thy bread upon the waters. If we could just use that thought for a while to us, that we have the responsibility and the privilege to give the bread of life to those that are about us. Ecclesiastes, the name of this book, is a word signifying a preacher, one who addresses a public assembly, and the Hebrew title of which the word conveys is Koheleth, intending to intimate preaching wisdom. And Solomon, you read this book, and some says that certain times he wrote the book, but when you start out read the book, you say, boy, you've dropped the ball. But anyway, every preacher that stands, you need to listen all the way through. Some people catch one word or phrase and they make a judgment of his message. Now, I like what the end of the message of Ecclesiastes conveys to us. The conclusion of all this matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon had often in this book pressed upon the rich people to take the comforts of the riches themselves. However, in chapter 5, verse 9 through chapter 6, verse 2, he presses upon them to do good to others with them and to abound in liberality to the poor, which will another day abound to their account after declaring things under the sun, placing them by wisdom to the hearts of the living. He here recommends duty to our fellow man in order up to lay treasures for the future. The world to come is alluded in the messages that we've just heard, that we're going to stand in judgment. We're going to face the judge. We're going to give an account of our stewardship, of our life services, of the motives that we've had, and how that we have declared. Every person will finally be called into this judgment of what sort of work they've done. Now, we humbly declare that our soul salvation depends upon God's grace. It is so wonderful and fitting that we can rest in that rocking chair, if so we can speak, that we have grace. Grace that has brought us this far. And grace that will take us on to the other side. And all the trials and troubles that we went through this life, we can say that it's been by grace. Oftentimes we may think that we have accomplished something and take credit for it. But the Apostle Paul said, I labored more than they all, but not I. It was God's grace that labored through me. It is wonderful to know that through His grace we have been saved, and our labor and work has been granted to us by His grace, and that He's going to reward us for it in the days to come. What a blessing to know. But at the same time, we must consider we have a responsibility to be good stewards. As 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The rich blessing of having what we have each other. And we do need each other. We have the Lord, and that's enough. I think if everybody, as Paul said to Timothy, everyone forsake me, but the Lord stood by me. And we have had friends that have stood by us, and they forsaken us. But there's always that good person of a good fellowship together, of working together, crying together, and praying together, because our eyes is upon Him who we desire to exalt above everything else in the world. So with a thought, cast thy bread upon the waters. Here is the husbandman who goes forth bearing precious seed. A sower goes forth to sow, as recorded in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 8. There was the wayside. There was the stony places. There were the thorny places. But thank God, there's some good ground. According to Revelation 16:5, waters are put for multitudes. There are multitudes of poor souls that need bread. It is not my pick and choose. It is mine to say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The preacher here recommends our duty in verse 1 through 2. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, according to what we learn from the scriptures, we're in evil times, perilous times. And it's a wicked time. But nowhere after we have declared sin and truth and proclaimed the judgment of God, that God says, keep on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the preacher recommends our duty, and our duty is laboring together, guess with who? God. Laboring together with God, the bread and the gift. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Is there anything that would undergird us with courage and strength to keep on keeping on, is to know that we're in this work with God, who has all power in heaven and earth. It has all wisdom. And even though we're just a finite person, Almighty God is in us. And we're the subject of His tools. He takes this vessel of ours and uses it for His glory and His purpose. We're learning to trust God for the increase. And I'm still learning. I've tried to do things myself. I thought this would be the proper thing. In early ministry, it'd go in revival and a great meeting of revival, and maybe teens up near 20 get saved. And I'd say, I'm going to do the next revival like that. But it didn't work. We've got to follow Him. We must be under subjection. The old songwriter said, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilly breeze, by and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Go then, ever weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. But when our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. There is a day of reward. There's a day when He'll say, well done. There's a day when He'll say, welcome home, my child, welcome home. I know we'll pass through the judgment, But I'm wanting to hear him say, well, you did try. You stayed with it. If there's anything that discouraged my heart is to think that some man of God stepped aside and got into error and ruined the entire ministry of influence. I think that's why Paul said, I keep under my body subjection, lest at any time I should be a castaway. You and I that are men of God, you and I that are Christians, stay with the truth and hold it high. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And I believe, I'm convinced that I have before me the bread of life written. And it's the 1611 King James edition. The Holy Bible. Did you know last November they put out a translation called the Queen James? And you know where we're going. I'm not going to go there right now. But anyway, we are certain, assured, this is the kind of book that got my heart when I got saved. This is the kind of book that God, when God called me to preach, put in my hand. And this is the kind of book I'm going to stay with till they put me in the box. And when the trumpet sounds, I'll kick it open. Anyway, I believe what I said, to be absent with the Lord and be present. With absent of my body, be present with the Lord. Thank God. Providence is not controlling our prosperity. I want you to notice, look at verse 3 and 4. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. You know, some people think that God's providence is so when it rains, they don't get out and go. They won't go to church. And when the providence is against what they think they ought to be doing, they're not going to do it. That's not the way that God called us into this work. It is in the power of the Holy Spirit, and success is in obedience. When the Bible says, I'll go with y'all away even to the end of the world, there is a contingent upon it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. A lot of people say, well, I'll go down to the bar, I'll go down to this, I'll stay idle, I'll sit and watch the boob tube. Lord didn't say he'd bless you with all of that, but he did say, you know, there's a thought there. He did say, another scripture says, anyway, it is his precious word says, go, and I'll go with you. Psalms 126:6, you're all familiar, the he that goeth forth and weepeth. Barren precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with him. I know this is a text that is often used by those carrying the message of good precious seed, barren precious seed. We support that in the church that I pastored in Michigan as well as here in Indiana, the barren precious seed ministry. I'm glad I'm reading out of a Bible that was compiled by Don Green from Michigan. I guess you may know him. Fine, glorious man. Anyway, I had a stroke when I was pastor at the church in Liberty Missionary Baptist in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and was in the hospital. Don Green come in. He took all the church family, my family, into a room. He said, we're going to pray for our brother Morrison. And I know it was that prayer that got through, because the room quit going around. And so I praise God for that. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 4 says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And I'm not preaching Pentecostal religion. I think all of us need the anointing, the filling of the Holy Spirit power. Verse 8, I think of that chapter as the key to the whole book. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Thank God for the blessing of knowing that we have someone with us. Finally, I want you to notice God's purpose here is directed to begin early and continue till late. Verse 6, "In the morning sow thy seed, and the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, neither this or that, but whether they both shall be alike good." I'm convinced that if you go and you knock on the door and they slam it in your face, it's good. And I'm convinced if you hand out a tract and they throw it away, it's good. But there's someone that will respond. But the underlying thought is that he said go. And it's what he said it matters. It's not what I'm going to get. It's not what I'm going to be rewarded with. It's not the number I'm going to have in church. There's little churches over the country that stand true and being witnesses. And this idea that if you're not having a big crowd, winning a dozen every week, you're backslid. No, it's you being faithful to go for God and tell the story of Jesus Christ to the world that's lost. I think there's something about the characteristic of maturity. When Paul spoke to the church at Corinth in chapter 3, verse 1, I'll read verse 6. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's building." I hope that in these few remarks that you can be encouraged, and I appreciate the grand work of the cause of Christ, and appreciate this church at Victory. They put up with me when he was going back and forth and was kind to me. I appreciate that. Thank God for you, Brother Pastor.